The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back. So great to have you. And let's continue with more calls as we have a number of guests waiting around the corner. JD is in Mississippi, and you are on the air.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, I stand up a little bit. We live a little dirt today, so, but I had a chance to talk to you. Ms. Paul, let me ask something. If it come out and it rained too much, we couldn't work. We'd have to go to the house till it dried up. We can't get a hand on this virus, man. They just going to have to realize we're going to have to just sit out the season and watch reruns or fish or buy chickens or something like that till this gets better. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I tell you what, these are things which my parents always said, you know, I really don't want to think about that right now, and I don't really want to think about that right now either. Hey, thank you for the call. Really do appreciate it. Rowdy is up next.
Well, as always, Paul, it's good to talk to you again, and you certainly sound like you're doing well.
I am. Thank you.
Paul, after hearing some of your recent comments on your show there, brother, I'm a little concerned. I just got to ask you, Paul, are you a flag waver?
Am I a flag waver? What does that mean?
Well, it sounds like you're ready to run up the white flag and just surrender, son, and give up.
Paul, no, I don't think so. I've since this started on March 11th, I've come to work every day and don't think I've missed one.
Oh, I know that, brother.
I'm not going to because I think it's important to have these conversations.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, I think you and I can agree if we were going to take a bet, the college football won't happen this year. But Paul always... We got to keep moving. We got to put one foot in front of the other, and that's quoting the late, great Charlie Daniels. They had a service for him today in Nashville. He's a flag waver, a true patriot. But we got to keep moving, Paul, and if we don't have college ball this year, sir, there will be enough people out there to help you if you need help, and I know you don't. You've got those bags of money that you've made, you've got it laid back. You've got it put back. But We will play college ball again, and we will return to some normalcy someday, Paul, and continue to believe that.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
What makes you think that I've given up?
Well, you were just talking about, this is what I do for a living, college football this, college football that. Paul, it does mean a lot, sir. But let me throw this out there. I'm a disabled veteran. I just recently was disabled. Never served in combat. Keep that in mind. But I was in. I served during the Iraqi, Desert Storm era.
Sure.
I was in until late '91. But anyway, disabled. I lost a six-figure-a-year job. I'm drawing disability now, Paul. But I keep putting one foot in front of the other. And sir, you're our platform. You know, we know that there's challenges ahead. But we love to listen to your show, Paul. That's why I know who you are, is because of college football. But we will succeed. And I don't want to – maybe that was a little too critical or too harsh coming at you like that, calling you a flag waver. But, you know, it don't hurt to retreat, Paul. When you retreat, you gather yourself up, you collect intel, you circle the wagons – and then you charge again. You never surrender, Paul. Never surrender. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I don't plan on surrendering. John is up next. Hey, John. Great to have you on board.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you.
Long-time listener here in the Charlotte region. Really appreciate your show so much and all the valuable insight you bring for fans out there. And enjoyed hearing Mark Schlabel, and I'm a Georgia graduate, and I was in school the same time Mark was at Georgia, and have some fond memories of him writing for the Red and Black. And like you said, he doesn't mince his words and what he says out there.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, I think he's great, and I can only imagine what Mark was like in college.
Yeah, well, I know the story about him and his dog. You know, we watched that game with the Brown, his lab running out on the field against Kentucky. But, Paul, I wanted to ask you something else, and I haven't really heard much talk about this, you know, assuming that we're not able to get a football season in this fall, and heaven forbid, you know, not in next spring, you know, and if we don't have a vaccine, and given that you know, we just don't know. But you've been to a lot of all these college towns, and you've seen these towns evolve. What do you think is going to be the economic impact on a lot of these college towns?
It's scary to think about. You take any one of them, John, it really doesn't matter, but especially the ones that aren't dependent on a centrally, like a city like Columbia, South Carolina, or Knoxville or Nashville. But, you know, I'm talking about Athens, Auburn, Tuscaloosa, places like that, Oxford, Mississippi, Starkville. I mean, those cities are dependent on the university. We had the mayor of, I think it was Tuscaloosa on recently, and he gave us the number. It was like a $200 million annual impact. And we're not talking football there. We're just talking about the university itself. You know, how many parents now have bought condos on college campuses to stay the football weekend, the small shops, the restaurants. I mean, it's enormous. And, you know, college football is a big driver for 15 weeks, but the students are the driver there for the other 26.
Do you think the students should be on campus if there is no college football?
Well, I what I've heard is this. I've heard a lot of campuses are going to do remote learning, but allow students to be on campus in a limited and controlled environment to give them maybe not the classroom experience, but at least the campus experience. And the one thing I'm also hearing, one of the big issues for universities, is, and you will not be surprised by this, the issue is more the faculty at some places than the students, because a lot of faculty do not want to be on campus.
Yeah, well, this is true. And I've wondered about that with the, you know, the spread, you know, how is that? That's a very good point, you know. Are the students going to spread it up to the faculty, and then what?
And that's really, I was talking to a friend of mine today about a particular school, and I agree. By the way, I don't think anybody wants to get sick, and I think young people have done remarkably well. They may not always, and the only thing about a virus like this, you don't know the unknowns, but the one thing you don't want is someone older or with a condition. Like I was talking to somebody today about Alabama. Steve Sarkisian just had heart surgery. I mean, that's a guy that doesn't need to catch this infection.
Absolutely.
There are a lot of. I mean, for all the people out there that talk about this is whatever. It's not as bad as the flu. That's fine. They can quote whatever source they want. The problem is though for someone with conditions, and I mean, I mentioned Sarkisian. I mean, we all know about Saban. At South Carolina, most coaches are young. Not all of them are young. The athletic director there is not that young. So, it's something that we haven't really factored in. And starting Monday, the players and the coaches are going to start interacting again, and that's when it gets serious.
Well, thank you for all you do, Paul, and just we appreciate you and all the great insight, and just thanks a bunch.
Thanks, John. Really appreciate it. By the way, some new reporting as we have continued to follow the story. Brett McMurphy, he is a frequent guest. He is reporting along with Matt Hayes, or maybe it's Matt Hayes reporting, I'm not really sure which one, that there is already some issues within the SEC, according to this report. That the four SEC East Divisional teams, UF, UGA, UK, and South Carolina, want to continue playing their state rivals. I mean, those are big games. Clemson, South Carolina. Okay, I don't know why South Carolina would want to be playing Clemson. UF and Florida State. We're talking about traditional season-ending games. So Those are things that the SEC has to figure out. You don't have that issue as much in the Big Ten. I can't think of too many games up there that Iowa State maybe, but that's a game that outside of 45 counties in Iowa, not many people really care about. We'll take a break. We are coming back with more guests and more of your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, we're back. I want to apologize to the state of Iowa. I think I said they had like 40 counties. They have 99. Sue me. If I play too long. Welcome back to the program, and really looking forward to this next guest. I've heard a lot about this young man. Alex Kirshner joins us. He is a writer primarily in the college space. He's been with a number of publications, and he's very entertaining if you choose to follow him on Twitter at Alex_Kirshner. Alex, we need some levity during this too serious time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Paul. Honored to be here.
So, I mean, we're all just kind of gnashing our teeth about what's going on in college athletics, especially football. From your perspective, what in the world is going on?
You know, in a way, it's the same thing that's been going on in college football since the very beginning of college football, which is kind of a mess where nobody is particularly in charge, and the rules are kind of a quilt that's stitched together by dozens of very nicely paid administrators at various campuses and offices across the country. And I think the lack of organization is never really more stark than it's been maybe the last 2 days.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, regardless of what these people make and earn, nobody can buy with commissioners and NCAA people for statements, because I mean we have been overwhelmed lately with statements about how much they care about the welfare of the student athlete, and quite frankly I don't know anybody who believes that. But what do you think this is really coming down to here? And what I mean by that is, you know, we had one of the Big Five say, okay, this is what we're doing. Now there's confusion reigning. That's not the way this was supposed to be, nor is it the way they told us it was going to be. Everyone seemed to say we're on the same page.
Yeah, it kind of feels like hot potato a little bit, doesn't it? Like nobody really wants to, if they can avoid it, be the one to either risk a big public relations problem with like being the weak conference that was the first to do it. I don't think anyone, certainly, and this is applicable to the NCAA, wants to be on the hook legally for anything. So you just have kind of a vacuum of leadership, really, of people who are, you know, incentivized to step up and, you know, maybe make national rules about this, or in the NCAA's case, or in the case of the conferences, you know, incentivized to make really tough decisions at a point when the season is getting pretty close. Because, I mean, I don't think anyone is excited about being the one that says, okay, you know, we're not going to play Power 5 college football this year. And I understand why you would want to leave that possibility off the table for as long as possible. But at some point, it's going to get very difficult.
Yeah, Alex. I mean, it's interesting because we talked to commissioners. I think we've had every commissioner on here, and they're all perfectly decent people.
For sure.
But you knew there was a but. I wonder if they already know what's going on, because, I mean, they've tried to convince us how hard they're working and how much they care. And by the way, what else are they supposed to do? I mean, they're all paid millions and millions of dollars. They all have private plans. They have expense accounts that would make a Hollywood starlet blush. But they also want to convince us that we are going to have a college football season, but they've yet to really tell us how they're going to do it.
It's not clear. And I mean, and some of these things are tough to figure out even as you see them announced. I mean, like the Big Ten announces yesterday that they're going to play, obviously, a conference-only college football season. And that's entirely clear to me what that really does. I mean, what that means is that Iowa can't play Iowa State, which is a drive of not much, a couple hours at most.
A couple of fields of corn, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, but they could still, in theory, I haven't looked at Iowa's schedule, thankfully, just yet, but, they could fly to play Maryland or Rutgers, which is, a significant trek. And, it's sort of a consequence of when you build conferences around money, which is very understandable on the one hand. But is a conference really the best vehicle to make sure that you can play the safest kind of college football in the middle of a viral pandemic? And on that, I'm not sure at all.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because, I'm watching and I'm listening to the reporting on it, and I'm going, and everybody's saying the same thing. Wow, this is a really good idea. We won't have to have these off games. And by the way, a lot of those games were against MAC teams, which, as you said, were easy drives. But they really didn't explain. They really haven't explained anything yet. And speaking of that, I'm looking at the Rutgers schedule for the first time in my entire life. They play at West Lafayette on October 10th. That's a pretty long haul from New Jersey. They play at Maryland, which isn't all that bad. They play at East Lansing. That's not exactly a short drive. So, I mean, Nebraska's got the same issues. I wonder, who are they really trying to kid?
I think that at some point it does get a little bit hard to justify it. I mean, I think about this a lot because, a lot of us obviously make our livings connected to this sport. I think that college football carries great benefits, not enough benefits for the people who play it. But, when you really think about what you're putting on the line, are we going to have Rutgers with, 80 or so unpaid 18 to 22 year olds get on an airplane at a time when we're not at all sure it's safe to get on an airplane, so that they can go and lose by 50 points to Michigan or Ohio State or whoever it is? And to be clear, it wouldn't be any more morally defensible if they didn't lose. But it just gets to a point where it's like, what are we really doing here? I wanted to be college football as much as anybody. I think that, as far as a lot of us in the media, I think our employment prospects are probably a lot better if there is college football. But wrapping your head around it gets pretty tricky to figure out what exactly the end game is here, unless there's a really quick turnaround, in our national public health environment. And, unfortunately, I haven't seen it yet, but here's to hoping.
I have to ask you about something, and I was looking at one of your tweets earlier today, and I did not, and I don't want to make fun of the guy. He's a legendary coach. But Lou Holtz, yes, Lou Holtz is still alive and kicking, and was on, I think it was Laura Ingraham, who, by the way, is a big Alabama football fan.
How about that?
He was on her show last night. I mean, she's huge. you got to see this if you haven't. He said, there's no way in the world you can do anything that's without a risk. And he talks about Normandy, which is great. I mean, that was the most important, arguably the most important battle in the history of this country. He left a few things out, as you pointed out. But I really am interested because Lou Holtz is a legendary figure. He worked at ESPN for many, many years. And he's, what was your interpretation of what he was essentially saying last night? Because I got a little confused.
Well, I think it's pretty silly on a lot of levels to compare Normandy to playing college football, but maybe the most basic difference, you know, you say you use there's a lot of risk at Normandy as a justification to go and try to play college football this year. Sure, there was a ton of risk at Normandy, and a lot of people died. That wasn't great. And even so, I mean, how many times did Dwight Eisenhower put off Normandy because the weather wasn't quite right? You know, they
quite
sent divers to the beaches to take sand samples to make sure that tanks could, you know, avoid getting bogged down and actually, like, make their way up the beaches. I mean, there were a lot of, like, precautions taken, a lot of organization between, you know, multiple countries, whereas what we were just talking about before is that right now in college football, there's kind of a lot of separate entities making these decisions on their own. So, you know, even if you decide, okay, you know, Normandy and college football are equally worthy causes to risk human life over, Normandy was a feat of precision planning and ultimate precaution. I'm not like a big World War II buff. I didn't go to Michigan. But at the same time, I mean, you know, one was a feat of precision and taking close care, and one right now doesn't really seem like that. Maybe it could be that in the future if we, you know, listen to the experts and take every available precaution. But yeah, doesn't seem to me like the greatest comparison in the world.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm not either a World War II buff, although my dad fought in Philippines and my uncle flew planes over Italy and Germany. But it is a fact that at the time of Normandy, on June 6, 1944, the Germans were well on their way to exterminating about 10 million people, 6 million of those of the Jewish faith. They had captured and were destroying the country of France. They were running nightly raids, bombing raids over London. So, I mean, there was a little bit at stake, like the future of the world, Coach Holtz.
Yeah. I don't want to minimize the loss, you know, to livelihood and athletic opportunity if there's not a college football season this year. I mean, that's going to be rough and terrible and, you know, worthy of acknowledgement and consideration. But I don't think it was, you know, I don't think we're quite at, like, need to liberate the concentration camps territory.
No. Well, my final question to you is about the politicalization of this. And, you know, if you choose to say some of the things that you've said, or anybody says for that matter, other than we have to play college football, even if we all die, it's still worth it. It seems like it has chilled many people in our profession, really, from saying anything other than I love college football and nobody wants college football more than me. You have not fallen victim to that. What about all this?
Well, in a way, I'm lucky because I don't think I'm such an influential person that what I say is going to change what a lot of athletic directors and conference commissioners do. So, you know, as I acknowledge, there's a financial incentive, I think, for a lot of us to have a season this year. I hope there is one for a lot of reasons, that being one of them. But you can fix an economy, you know, over time, and you can build back up an athletic department over time. But, I mean, we didn't know what this virus was like 7-8 months ago. We don't know what the long-term effect is on, you know, the respiratory system and the lungs. And I just don't love using college football players as the guinea pigs to find that out, because we need to fund athletic departments for, you know, the next year, the next 2 years. It's a brutal dynamic, a brutal decision that has to be made if we can't play college football this year. But I just think that some things are a little bit bigger, you know, even than this incredibly big sport that we all care about so much.
Alex Kirshner, thank you very much. It's been fantastic having you on. Hope you'll come back. Be well.
Absolutely. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. Great insight there. Really was. We'll take a break. We still have some more guests, including Brad Edwards, on how the College Football Committee needs to reexamine the playoffs, assuming that we get to that point, and Jay Mariotti with some very outspoken comments about where we are sports-wise. We'll take a break and come right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Great conversation there with Alex Kirshner. Some very strong commentary. Let's get your reaction to that. And Jim is up next. Hey, Jim.
Well, I don't know if it'll be a strong, what he did is stronger than what I'm going to give you, but I hope I can give you the right kind of strength, and it should be compelling if I get it right, and that's all I can tell you. But, you know, let me ask you something, Paul. As you well know, I told you a couple of months, about 3 years ago, I was going to stop talking football. When I got on this show, do you think I knew what I was talking about when I talked about football every day? Did I know anything about it?
Jim, I'm going to answer you rather simply. Page 54.
I'm talking about specifically football.
When I said I would take you over the president, that, and by the way, this was President Obama, there's no way I would take you over Trump.
I'm still saying, though, to be specific, it was about being able to talk about football, etc.
Oh, yeah, no, Jim,
that I knew
Jim.
About. Would you agree with that?
You cover A to Z.
Okay, well, that's my point, Paul. Here's what I'm trying to get at. I talked to Jeff. He's a great guy. I like him. We talked off air about an hour ago. Anyway, and I said, I'm going to bring it the best I can. He said, well, we need a reality check. Here's the thing, Paul. There was a good reason that I've stopped talking about football, and it's so interesting to me that all this is happening now after I've stopped talking about football. And it was a hard thing to do, Paul, because I did it well, I knew what I was talking about, and I loved it all my life, but I don't love it anymore. And there's many reasons. I won't go into all of the reasons why I don't, but I'm going to tell you right now, Paul, it's time for an attitude adjustment, and that's what I believe the one who created this heaven and earth is bringing about with this situation as it is. Have you considered that?
I've never. I have to tell you, I did consider it once because I had a conversation with someone about this. But yeah, it's pretty interesting.
It's beyond interesting. It's I believe it's dead on, spot on target at what he's doing to have this cause.
Would you like to explain that, Jim?
I knew this when I was a football player and fan, especially of Alabama and Coach Bryant and that team and all that's been the glory that went with it. You've got a bunch of spoiled, self-centered, selfish people that love this stuff and are used to it and don't want to have any part of sacrificing it or losing it and giving it up. I'm talking about the money. You got football now, Paul, that's charging people out of their where they can't afford to go to a game. A couple of $1,000 just to bring your family to a football game. It's been outrageous. Well, that's going to cease now. I think that's going to be a good thing, Paul, a real good thing. It's going to cause a lot of people to start adjusting the attitudes. You're not going to have this hero worshiping, and I was one that got the hero worship when I played because I was that good. I was a good ball player. I know what it is to have your head swelled up and be deceived walking around like you're at something great. Like you're better than somebody else. Like I thought I was better than everybody else because what I could do on a ball field. Well, that's crazy. And that got my attitude well adjusted. It's still being adjusted. But this is going to be a good thing overall, in my opinion, for America. It's been needed to happen, Paul. And the other things, like I said about – and I'll tell you something else. Most of the country has lived in grandeur and in splendor for the last however many years. Well, that's coming down now. And people are about to, most of the country, most of the world lives in hardship and rough conditions. And it's like my daddy told me. He says, when you complained about not having no shoes until you met many people that had no feet. So that's where we are, in my opinion. And it needs to be a reality check. And all these selfish, self-centered. I love the way McFarland said that yesterday. He was spot on target. I love the way Legend brought it up. He told you a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I can without football for a season. And you know, nobody loves football more than Legend.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I could give you some more, but I'm almost out of breath. But I hope there's been something said that can give people something food for thought to the reality of what's going on and what needs to happen and what's going to be.
Well, Jim, let me close with this because you said a lot. How do you get through something like this?
Well, I think you start having to be thankful for what you do have and realize that it's not the big deal that you've made it in your mind to be like I did all my life about sports. I thought it was everything, Paul. I thought more than you, I guarantee you, because I could play. I love people watching me play. I love the attention. I had the girls coming around, had all the guys loving me. It's not an easy thing to lose that. But when I got injured, I lost that. That was part of my beginning of reality, of understanding this stuff is not near as important. It's not even important, Paul. At the end of the day, how important is ball? It's not important at all. Is it being a doctor? Is it being a preacher? Is it being anything that's really upstanding? I wouldn't think so. You've been deceived by this stuff. All of us have been deceived by the grandeur of entertainment and sports that really, at the end of the day, it doesn't add up to much, if anything.
Thanks. Appreciate the call. Alabadger is up next. Alabadger, go right ahead.
All right, Paul. How's it going?
It's going great.
That's good. I was listening to a local, I guess it's a radio station, and it's the number 3-man front. Something to do with a hashtag and Twitter.
In Birmingham, yeah.
Yes, sir. And they was discussing how the ACC and the SEC, if they could just kind of, it's already like embedded with the bowl games, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like there's always an ACC and an SEC opponent. Why could maybe they could come together and get terms right so they could split like a regional kind of thing, you know? Who would like to see Alabama play in Miami or Clemson? Do you think that would be something that they could possibly arrange?
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, for this season, are you talking about?
Yes, sir. This very special season.
I don't know. Right now, I think they're struggling to get through this because so many schools have. What you could see here. Is an ACC-SEC partnership. That's the most logical because there are already four games that are scheduled on a yearly basis, and they're all within the same state, so it's not going to be difficult for Georgia, Georgia Tech, Clemson, you know, going down the list of the four schools in the SEC that play the ACC schools. But I really don't know. I'm not sure what they're going to decide yet. Hey, thanks for the call. Hate to run. We're up against a break. Back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We welcome you back. Certainly great to have you. A couple more guests to go on what's already been a busy Friday afternoon as we are wrapping up a week. Let us continue. And Mitch is in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Okay. I wasn't going to say this, but I have a question after I say this. If Mr. Jim would do what Coco Chanel said about fashion, and look in the mirror before you walk out the house and take something off. If he would stop maybe 3 minutes before he does stop, his points would be actually valid. But he has to throw in his stuff about himself, and then that takes away from some of his good points.
Well, he's just being humble.
Anyway, my question to you is, And I know you purely can only speculate, but you do have a lot of knowledge in this, and people have been asking for years and years and years, will Notre Dame never join a conference in football? Does this situation put them in a more precarious situation that they might have to make that decision finally?
You know, it's interesting. I don't think so, for this reason. I mean, Notre Dame is a sacred cow. And Notre Dame, you know, has membership in the ACC and everything but football. But part of that deal was that they would play six ACC schools a year, which is very valuable from a television standpoint. Not only does the ACC have deals with ESPN and ABC, but they have their own network now. And you get a Duke Notre Dame game, or Notre Dame and this year Clemson is playing Notre Dame, I think. Those are really big deals. So.
Can I point this out?
Yeah, please.
Let's say all five power conferences decide to go with only conference games. Notre Dame is going to have to beat Clemson to be considered for the
right. Yeah, Notre Dame will get hurt by that.
And that's what I'm saying. And you know, I fully believe, and I'm not, you know, I'm a Clemson fan to the heart, but I fully believe that if it's the only conference games played for all Power Fives, if Georgia and Alabama or Georgia or Florida, or if both teams go from the West and the East, go in undefeated in the SEC, there is a very good chance that there's going to be two teams from the SEC in the playoffs because they're the strongest conference.
Yeah, especially with Georgia playing at Alabama.
That's what I'm saying. So if there are two undefeated teams that play in the SEC championship, there is a very good chance.
Yeah, no, I would say it's automatic.
And so, I mean, I don't want this all-conference thing. But then think about this, and I know I'm taking too much time, but what good does it do the ACC to limit to just conference? ACC goes from Florida all the way up to New York.
Yeah, listen, I think this is a shell game that the commissioners are playing right now. They're trying to say that it gives them more time, two extra weeks. I mean, right now, think about this, Mitch. I mean, you're thinking of it as a college football fan, which is right. That's what you are. That's what I am. They're thinking at it as a means of survival. They have to come up with a plan that will convince their bosses, who are the presidents of these various schools, whether it's Clemson or North Carolina or anyone else, that they can do this safely. And right now they haven't been able to do that because the testing protocols are a disaster. I just don't know how they're going to be able to do it. So they're finding ways to do it.
I work in the medical field. I work in the numbers. I see them every day. I know realistically what's going on. But how fair is it to ask the football players to be on campus if the players aren't? I mean, if the students aren't going to be on campus. So my question is not that if football happen if the students aren't on campus. My question is, can football happen if the students aren't on campus?
Well, hey, by the way, allow me to ask you a question. I'm not trying to get you in trouble, but can you give us a direction just on what you see every day?
I'm in South Carolina, and so I deal with the county of Spartanburg.
Right, which is not too far from Clemson, up the road.
No. Well, Pickens County, Greenville County, Spartanburg County are all red zones.
Right.
Which means we're all hot spots. We're all three, and, you know, Clemson is right up there at Pickens County. And, but every day for the past 3 weeks, the numbers have been higher every day. And what people are not understanding is this: the lowest percentage of new cases is in the older category. The 15 to 30 and the 30 to 50 are the two highest categories of new cases. Now, that doesn't mean they're all being put in the hospital, and that doesn't mean they're all going to die. But that does mean that they go around older people.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, thanks for sharing that. That's really valuable. We have to go to a break here. Two more hours.
Yes, sir. You have a good day.
You too. Thanks so much. We're coming right back.